That music can mean only one thing. It's time for another episode of I'll Have a Beer and Talk. My name is Gary, and over the next 20 or so minutes, let me regale you with tales of human ingenuity and or weirdness, and a funny and or weird animal story, while I enjoy the best liquid refreshment the human race has ever created. I am, of course, referring to beer. Hooray, beer. And that sound you are now experiencing is a device I call the randomizer, which chooses a beer I've never had before, selected randomly from the amazing selection I have tucked away here in the All of a Beer and Talk bunker. And we have a result. This week's beer is Funkworks Nelson Sauvin, a 7.6% ABV single-hopped Saison Ale. Yum. Saisons, which are pretty close to being my most favorite type of beer, were originally a Belgian farmhouse ale brewed in the winter for consumption in the summer. There's not a specific flavor profile, it's more about the feel. Saisons are not too bitter and not too sweet, always just right, and are best enjoyed on late summer afternoons. At least that's when I like to enjoy them. This Saison is single-hopped, meaning just that, only one hop was used in the brewing process. Normally, beers use a couple different types of hops to get a blend of flavor aspects, but by using one hop, the imbiber can focus on the qualities of that one hop and what it brings to the brew. According to reviewers at beeradvocate.com, this Saison has aspects of white wine and pepper. Let's enjoy the sound of opening and pouring a fresh beer, shall we? All right, is a golden yellow with a white head and little aspects of citrus and a little kind of a floral bouquet in it, which is typical of the Saisons that I tend to have. So let's see if it tastes like white wine and pepper. It's got a wonderful, like, hoppy bite to it, and there's definitely on the, as it dissipates a little bit, this whole, the little white wine aspect. It's not very strong, but it's there. Don't quite taste the pepper, but I'm not a super taster, so I'll just take people's word for it. A wonderful Saison. Are you by any chance retired? If so, congratulations! If not, you should be thinking about it and planning for it, because all of us want to be retired someday. What one does after deciding they've worked enough and want to enjoy the resources they've gathered varies from person to person. Usually it involves moving to somewhere warm to live the easy life, but according to Gizmodo, some people are planning on retiring somewhere cold and or alien. And I'm talking about retiring somewhere outside the bounds of this planet Earth. Automated investing service Betterment recently did an analysis of 250,000 accounts, the majority of which were set up for the usual reasons, such as retirement or anniversary trips, but 22 were either set up for space or Mars. Some of those 22 were set up to deposit $1,000 a month, the earliest of which was started in March of 2014, and one account that was set up in January 2016 has saved up a total of $60,000 as of April 2017. Someone really doesn't want to live on this planet anymore. Betterment's VP of Behavioral Finance, Dan Egan, speculates that the rise of privately funded space exploration might be why there's a sudden interest in saving up for a trip into the black. Speaking to Gizmodo, he said, I think there's a nice dovetail here with Elon Musk and SpaceX, who are looking into the future of where humanity is going to be, and what we need to do is bootstrap ourselves into the stars. Which is all well and good, but with travel to space costing astronomical sums of money, would saving now make a difference? The whole idea is that over time, the price will come down, and if our customers start saving, they're going to be able to afford that, Egan concluded. And the idea that affordable space travel will happen within our lifetimes is not unfeasible. Back in 2016, at the 67th International Astronautical Congress in Guadalajara, Elon Musk claimed that a trip to Mars would cost an individual a mere $200,000. He arrived at that sum because his SpaceX company is built around the idea of reusing rockets, which would, in theory, bring the cost of travel out of our gravity well down to Earth. Assuming that travel to Mars will become a reality in 30 years, and assuming a 6% annual realized return, one would only need to contribute $263 a month into a retirement account to live out the rest of their days on the red planet, or points unknown. Cool. If only I had an extra $263 a month of income, or an extra $50 a month of income. Patreon.com/IHabitRadio. So if I win the lottery or find pirate gold and use that to fund a Mars retirement account, yiffy, I get to go to Mars when I'm wrinkly. But in order to live there, I'll need a new bunker. Made from concrete. I think about a year ago, I talked about concrete being made on Mars using sulfur instead of the usual water to bind rocks and cement together. But according to The Verge, a new method of creating Martian concrete has been figured out that doesn't need anything other than Martian soil. It just needs to be hit with a hammer. A group of engineers, led by University of California San Diego structural engineer Yi Kuo, were originally working on ways to craft concrete on the moon. Using simulated lunar soil, they found a way to make lunar concrete using just 3% of a binding substance by volume, down from the usual 15% by compressing the soil. When NASA decided Mars was the next destination for human exploration and a return to the moon was no longer on the table, the team took what they had learned and applied it to simulated Martian soil. Over a course of experiments with using less and less binder to make Martian concrete, the team found that Martian soil didn't need a binder at all to form bricks of compressed soil that were stronger than steel-reinforced concrete. The one weird trick that makes it work is found in the Martian soil itself. Mars is red, if you hadn't noticed, because its crust contains iron oxide. When iron oxide is crushed, it cracks into particles with very clean and flat surfaces. Surfaces that, when forced together with an adequate amount of pressure, form super strong bonds. So in the future, Martian homesteaders might be able to make their habitats by hammering down the dirt into bricks. However, there are many more questions that need to be answered. So far, the team has only made very small blocks of the Martian binder-free concrete. They would need to see if larger bricks have the same strength. Durability is also a question. Would the bricks stand up to dust storms? Also, the bricks may contain percolate, a salt found throughout the Martian surface. Percolate is toxic to the human thyroid gland, so I guess a sealant would need to be sprayed onto the bricks to keep that bad stuff contained. Still, the idea of making super strong building materials from stuff just laying around your destination would leave room on your spaceship for more important things, like entertainment to stave off space madness. And speaking of space madness, using our current level of technology, it would take somewhere between 150 and 300 days to get to Mars. That's one hell of a commute, and I don't know about you, but when I get past the 45-minute mark in a commute, I start going a little funny in my head. Eurostar, the transit company that runs, among other things, a line that stretches from London to Paris, is at least aware that commuting is hell, especially if you take that London to Paris route. It takes a little over 2 hours each way. To try to help, Eurostar has partnered with Sony to try to make that journey as stress-free as possible. For a one-month trial started on April 27th, passengers will be provided with Sony's 1000X noise-canceling headphones and special playlists available on the onboard entertainment systems to listen to on those headphones. Each was designed to help travelers relax, unwind, get energized, or focus on work, according to Business Insider. The five playlists were developed by Alexandre Lamount, a senior lecturer in music psychology at Keele University, by using data from studies on music and mood regulation. The five playlists were designed to elicit specific moods, which I will now read to you in numerical order. 1. Helping you focus your work by playing medium-high levels of sound with minimal pitch variability. 2. Psyching you up for a long day, fast tempo, high pitch, building rhythms. 3. Calm you down, slow beats such as scenic/inspirational music, gentle rhythms and slow tempos, or sounds of nature. 4. Helping you simply enjoy the journey, expansive music with movement behind it. And 5, helping you relax after a busy day, slow beats and calming music. Also available, as they have been shown to alter human emotions, will be a selection of specific sounds. The examples being given in the article is that of bells ringing or. Yep, that's a cat purring. I feel relaxed already. According to a survey of passengers, 39% said that the sound of other travelers was the biggest stress factor when traveling. So hopefully this trial will become the norm and keep people from murdering each other. For the record, I stave off the rising urge to destroy during a commute by listening to podcasts. Something else that I know helps me relax is making handmade paper. Where could one possibly be able to do that? By visiting this show's sponsor, Pulp & Deckel, of course. Pulp & Deckel is Portland's only community handmade papermaking studio, and its mission is to keep the art of papermaking alive with workshops, demonstrations, and by creating and selling beautiful handmade paper products. Browse a rotating selection of papermaking workshops, check out membership options, inquire about custom orders, take an online recycled papermaking class, and check out our mobile papermaking plans by visiting pulpanddeckel.com. That is pulpanddeckle.com. Mention I'll have a beer and talk, and we might give you something special. Mosquitoes! They're terrible and carry many extremely dangerous diseases like malaria and Zika. But did you know that out of the 3,500 species, only 20 to 25 carry those diseases? And each species' buzzing sound is unique. It's true. And that fact may be able to be used against them, according to Fast Company. Manu Prakash, the man who conceived of the 20-cent paperfuge, a blood centrifuge made from paper that I've talked about before, presented a system called Abuzz at TED 2017. Abuzz is designed to use ordinary phones, even dumb flip phones, to listen to those mosquitoes buzzing away, then using the geolocation data and machine learning to map the species' locations. If a dangerous species can be narrowly located, they can be effectively eradicated. I think one of the aspects of this is on a planetary scale. We have absolutely no idea where mosquitoes are, how far they go, how that changes with climate change. This real-time data coming from the ground is the most important thing for policy, but also locally trying to figure out where they're breeding, said Prakash. If you think about the resources that we have, they're very limited. We need precision attacks on mosquitoes rather than spraying everything around and spoiling resources. The Abuzz system underwent a recent trial in Madagascar. Using high school students, who of course all carry mobile phones, an entire village was mapped in just 24 hours. Mobile phones are near ubiquitous in Africa and South America, so a system like this could be implemented easily, with a simple incentive to the phone users of free minutes to record all those mosquitoes buzzing around, and that could all end up aiding in dramatically reducing the amount of disease-carrying mosquitoes worldwide. Die, mosquitoes, die! Amazon posted a very late April Fool's joke this past week, according to Mashable. Their gag is a new type of Echo, their speaking digital assistant, called the Echo Look that has a camera. The joke device could do everything the regular Echo can, such as play music for you, or answer questions, or put rap albums on your shopping list. But since it has a camera, it can also take a photo of you and give you fashion advice. Wait, that's not a joke, that's a real product. The idea is that you try on two different outfits in front of the look, asking it to take a picture of you each time. Then it has enough data to assess your quote-unquote look, offering suggestions based on its AI algorithms, fashion trends, and something Amazon calls, what flatters you. That's not creepy at all. Like both other Echo devices and the Google Home, the Echo Look also has a mute button, which disables its microphone array, and I'm assuming it will also disable the camera. The 5-megapixel camera in question in the Look is placed in the middle of a circular flash ring and uses depth sensing to keep you in focus but blur your background. If you don't mind the fact that anyone could potentially gain access to that camera and watch you while you change, the Echo Look is available by invitation only for $199.99. I am going to pass. It's been a while since I've run across a good pizza tech story, so I was pleasantly surprised I found something last week that technically fits that story category that I created. Pizza tech is an umbrella term for any story that I find involving mostly unhealthy, quick food merchants shilling their delicious products by using high-tech hooks, such as a fried chicken box that doubles as a USB battery pack for your phone, or pizza delivery via a wheeled drone. Engadget reports that, as a tie-in to the new cosmic adventure film Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Marvel Studios has partnered with Frito-Lay to offer a limited edition bag of its nacho cheese-flavored chipified stale tortillas, also known as Doritos, embedded with a, quote, rechargeable cassette deck-inspired player loaded with the film's entire soundtrack of 1460s and 70s popular and rock music songs. I briefly considered looking for one of these bags at my local grocer, but that would have been pointless, as the bags are only available through Amazon, as of yesterday, for the questionable sum of $29.99. Luckily, Engadget procured a bag and did a teardown, so I won't have to. The player is sandwiched between two layers of foam and is basically a circuit board with mechanical switches to control playback and volume, a cruddy headphone jack, a mini USB port for charging, and a 256 megabyte micro SD card. So, an MP3 player from about 8 years ago. The upside is that all the tracks on the device are encoded at 320 kilobytes per second and are DRM free and can be downloaded to your PC by connecting it via that mini USB port. But Engadget rightly points out that $29.99 is a ridiculous price to pay for what is basically a soundtrack with snacks. And when you're done eating those chips and copying the MP3s off of the bag, you're left with a useless plastic bag that'll end up in a landfill, or, let's be honest, end up in the ocean. Or maybe it will end up as caterpillar food, according to Gizmodo. A new study published in Current Biology took a look at caterpillars that become a moth with the kicking name of Galleria melanella, also known as the wax moth. The wax moth lays its eggs inside of beehives where the hatchlings consume beeswax as they develop. Study co-author Federica Bertaccini is not only a member of the Spanish National Research Council, she is also a beekeeper. While removing parasites from her bees' honeycombs, she noticed a bag containing wax moth caterpillars she had removed spawned several holes in less than an hour. The caterpillars were eating the plastic bag from the inside out. Bertaccini then enlisted the help of University of Cambridge biochemist Paolo Bombelli to figure out what sorcery these caterpillars were using. A series of experiments ensued, including one where 100 hungry caterpillars were presented with an ordinary polyethylene plastic bag from a United Kingdom supermarket. After 40 minutes, the bag was riddled with holes, and after 12 hours, the amount of plastic was reduced to a mere 92 milligrams, indicating that the caterpillars could biodegrade plastic at a rate of 0.13 milligrams per day. That may not sound like a lot, but it is way faster than other biology-based methods, some of which I've talked about before involving bacteria. Another rather grisly experiment involved grinding up a bunch of caterpillars into a paste, then smearing that across the polyethylene bags. Gross. The biodegradation happened in a similar fashion as when the caterpillars were left alive to just nibble on the bag, demonstrating that there is a chemical in the caterpillar that breaks down plastic. If a single enzyme is responsible for this chemical process, its reproduction on a large scale using biotechnological methods should be achievable, said Bombelli in a statement. This discovery could be an important tool for helping to get rid of the polyethylene plastic waste accumulated in landfill sites and oceans. Bertaccini and Bombelli immediately patented their discovery, so hopefully they'll make it affordable to be commercially developed. Reducing the amount of plastic waste across the planet would be nice. If you are still listening at this point, I'm going to assume that you're enjoying listening to me drink and talk. So let me offer you a proposition. Help me make the show, and I'll continue to do so. I'm all about choice, so here's a few options to support me in my life's mission to drink beer and learn things, and then tell you about those things. First, my voice is for hire! I can do voiceover work, voicemail messages, mediocre acting, bad singing, and some adequate audio production! I figured out how to make this show. Maybe you want to make a show too? I can help you out. If you feel you have a use for the best part of my body, which happens to be my voice and my brain, let me know. Email me at gary@pulpanddecal.com. That is GARY@PULPANDDECKLE.com. Rates are reasonable. Also, this show is on iTunes. Just search for All Have a Beer and Talk, and you can rate and review the show. Give me 5 stars, please. It makes a difference. The more ratings that I have, the more the show might show up as a suggestion. And more ears gives me an incentive to keep talking and drinking. And if you believe what I'm doing here is worth about 20 minutes of your attention each week and want to show your approval by financially supporting each episode, you can become my patron and donate at least $1 a month to the show. That's like 25 cents an episode. What else out there gives you 20 minutes of joy for a quarter? Half a game of pinball at the corner pub? Come on, hanging out with me is more fun than that. Probably. If you want to throw some money at me, you can do that at patreon.com/ihabitradio. That is patreon.com/ihabitradio. And for those that already support me, your generosity crosses time and space. Thank you. Oh, the going music is playing. Oh, hey, my beer's done. Time for me to go and drink some more. Please tell your family, friends, neighbors, animals, plants, aliens, and ghosts about the show, and that they can find it on Google Play Music, on iTunes, on Podomatic, on Stitcher, and on Spreaker. And please send me feedback, story suggestions, and beer recommendations to Gary@pulpanddeckle.com, or on the Twitters and Instagram @IHaveItRadio, or even on the Facebook @facebook.com/IHaveItRadio. It's time for me to go. I will see you in the future. Bye-bye!